Father, we give you glory because of you. flourish like the palm tree. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory.
Child of God. sono figlia. Me, I'm a child, I'm a child of God.
Your name. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank God for this morning. Thank God for this wonderful opportunity to be in His house, that we can be connected in this way. We're not in the physical house, but as we come together, may we worship the Lord together and give Him the glory and the praise. Thank Him for today. I'm going to ask our sister, Lloydie Mills, to come at this time and to lead us into praise and worship.
Good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Father, our God, our King, our Savior, our Lord, we come before you. We want to give you praise. We want to thank you that you are the God of promises. We want to thank you that it is your breath in our lungs. And for that, God, we just want to give you thanks, and we want to praise, and we want to worship you. So I pray that you just search our hearts today, God, and that you just meet us at the point of our needs, mighty God. You know what we are seeking for, what we are searching for individually, God. And I ask that, God, you just cater to our individual situations. I ask that you give us a desire and a heart to want to worship you, to want more of you, mighty God. We pray that even though we are in our individual homes, God, that you will bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Help us to come together united, mighty God, with one mind, and which is to worship you. So we give you praise and we acknowledge your presence this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We worship you, God.
The Lord has come back so long ago. Daily, you alone that I have desire and I long to worship you. You are my strength, my shield. To you
has
pour the waters of my soul, long and after thee. You alone are my heart's desire and alone to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You are the real joy ever and the apple of my eye. You
worship you this morning, God, and we are calling to you with hands wide open and our hearts wide open, God, and we're asking for more of you. We desire you today, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're so worthy, God. Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. No, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. No, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness it was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness, it was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. No, what a Savior. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Let's bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. No other Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness, it was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness, it was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Christ, oh, come to the altar. Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. No, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness, it was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come to the altar. Jesus is calling. He is calling us. He is calling out to us, and we want to answer Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. I now hand over the rest of the service to Evangelist Bardwell.
Thank you, Sister Lordine. Thank you for those beautiful songs. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. So glad that our Father's arms are open wide. And so as we come this morning, we are coming in the presence of the Lord. He's there to satisfy us. He's there to meet our needs. And you know, He's higher than all others. We are going to the highest source for help. And we know He's here for us. So let's worship Him. Give Him the glory, the honor, and the praise, because He's altogether lovely. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to go into our opening prayer, and I'm going to ask Reverend Bardwell to come at this time and to pray the prayer for us.
Good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Your name this morning is above all name. Your name is glorious and wonderful. Your name is all-powerful. Your name is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. We are just so happy this morning, God, that we can run into Your name this morning, and even by running into Your name, we can be safe. So this morning, God, we come before You because we are weak and we are feeble and we are fainting. But, Lord, we count on You this morning to give us strength as we run into Your name this morning. As Your name will be declared this morning, O God, I pray that You'll help us to find refuge and strength in Your name. strengthen all of us this morning. Those who are weak, O God, we pray for strength. Those, Lord, who are backslidden, we pray, God, that you bring them back into the fold. Those who are discouraged this morning, oh, we pray, God, that you will strengthen them, oh, God. I pray, God, that you will allow us this morning to understand, Lord, that your name is a strong tower, and the righteous will run into it and find safety. And your word tells us that if we abide in you and your words abide in us, we can ask what we will, and it shall be given unto us. And you promise us, Lord, you ask us to remain in you, Lord, and that your words remain in us. And we pray this morning, God, to this end, that you'd help us, Lord, to keep your words in our hearts. We pray, God, this morning that as your word shall be declared, that we'll keep your words in our hearts, we will cherish your words. And as we go through the week and times, Lord, we will live these words out in our lives. We pray, God, for the various activities that shall take place this morning. And we particularly want to pray for Pastor Newton as he shall bring forth the word this morning, that you will anoint him, O God, and that you will use him, O God, as you have never used him before. You will cause, Lord, that as he shall speak as an oracle of thine, O God, that you will allow his words, O Lord, to transcend to our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It shall illuminate in our minds, O God, and in our heart, and shall bring forth fruit. We pray, God, that as we hear the words of God this morning, that it will help us, Lord, to take root and to grow as a tender plant before you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we pray this morning that you just have your own way. Oh, God, speak to all of us this morning, anywhere we are, wherever we are this morning. We commit the sick into your hands. We commit those, Lord, who are fainting into your hands. We commit, Lord, the leaders around the world into your hands. Oh, God, we pray, God, both for leaders that are secular leaders and spiritual leaders, leaders for small communities, leaders for other groups, Lord, social groups. Oh, God, we commit them into your hands. We pray, God, for those, Lord, who are here in the United States. Oh, God, we pray for them. We pray for our president. And we pray, Lord, that you give him the guidance that he stands in need of, O Lord, and that you would give him the wisdom to lead us. We pray also, Lord, that you will cause that there will be no division among us as a people, as a nation, O God, but that we will be standing united, O God, because we know that united we stand and divided we fall. Strengthen us, Lord, as a nation this morning. And Lord, we pray, God, that the unity will not only be within the community, but this unity will also be in the church, that as a church you will unite us, O God, in one body, because we know, God, that we are one in Christ. And so, Lord, we pray, God, that there will be unity in the church, that there will be that era, Lord, of spiritual disbursement, Lord, where the Spirit can have free flow among us, O God. And, Lord, we will rejoice and give glory to your name. Father, have your own way this morning. As your word have its free course among us, we pray to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to sing a song of assurance. It's number 143 if you do have your hymnal. And it is Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Praise the Lord. I'm going to try to sing this song. And in your homes, you sing along, keep your phones muted, and sing along. It's such a song of assurance. You know, when you're going through the trials and the uncertainty of life, we can know that we have assurance in Jesus. Jesus is mine. And if he's mine, that's all right. Praise God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Here of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising the Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, we're going to have our scripture reading taken from Psalm 97, 1 to 12. And I'm going to invite Sister Herman Hewitt to lead us in this reading.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Once again, Psalm 97. It reads, "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of us be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of the judgments of the Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. 12 and last, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thanks be to God for his word this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 9 says, for thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above the gods. Bear that in mind as you worship this morning. Our Lord is high above all the earth. Praise the Lord. Praise God. At this time, I'm going to invite our Dr. Nadine Lindsay to come with the welcome and the announcement.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday service. It is Communion Sunday. Greetings to Pastor Alvin Newton, Reverend Bardwell, and to all the leaders. Greetings to everyone who came out to worship today. We appreciate your presence. And if you're in the first-time visitors, special welcome to you. Please continue to pray for those who are sick and shut in, and for everyone who's mourning the loss of a loved one. Tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m., the men have their discussion night. The theme is pound, shilling, and cents, not C-E-N-T-S, S-E-N-S-E, like in common sense. So it sounds like it will be a lively and fun discussion. Please don't miss it. Remember to click on the link for information regarding dates and times for prayer meetings and all upcoming activities. The ACC Wellness Team is promoting COVID awareness this month, and we launched a few initiatives accordingly. We'll be giving away a pair of Montefiore wireless earbuds to someone from the Sunday School department. The young ones have to attend Sunday School to hear how they can win. We're also giving away prizes to three persons from the youth department. Please check online for the guidelines. Sister Kanika, who's a youth president, will discuss this further in her Friday night youth meetings. Parents, please ensure that your children log on and encourage them to participate. And the wellness team is encouraging everyone to get tested for the coronavirus, and we plan to help those who wish to do so. Please speak with someone, anyone from the wellness team. This is Evangelist Drummond, Sister Denise Borrow, Sister Marcy Dennison, or myself for information on how you can get tested for free. During the month of July, we will arrange for transportation for those who are unable to get to the site. Our numbers will be posted for your information. Please speak with one of us and we'll get you set up. And last but not least, just in case the adults think that we were forgetting about them, we're asking the adults, you know, families or not. You could be single and going through a very hard time, so we're not discriminating. We're asking the adults to share your story in a letter, 1.5 pages. Minimum, telling the struggle you've experienced due to COVID-19. Please note, and this is very important, that the HCC Wellness Ministry is committed to maintaining high ethical standards and protecting your privacy and confidentiality. So we will not divulge whatever you tell us. We're asking you to, you know, write us a letter. I mean, some of us were impacted profoundly. It could be loss of a close relationship, income, sense of security, peace of mind. Some people, you know, experience all of the above. If this is you, the ACC Wellness Ministry would like to hear from you, would like to hear your story if you're going through a difficult time. We're going to post a special email website address for you to send this letter. It will not be viewed by anyone but the ACC Wellness team members. And we have a few birthday celebrants in the house. Deacon Leon Brown, July 1st. I hear the applause. Brother Tony Lindsay, today, July 5th. Sister Michelle Elliston, July 7th. and Sister Marcia Dennison, July 9th. So on behalf of the church, I will say happy birthday to you all. I pray God's richest blessings in your lives, bringing nothing but peace and pure joy. Much love to you all. Happy birthday to everyone else who celebrated last week and this coming week. And please remember to forward your announcements, the 975announcements at gmail.com. And a brief tip from the wellness team. So we have spoken many times about washing your hands for 20 seconds, you know, about cleaning surfaces appropriately. But we never discussed one simple but very important step to reduce the spread of germs. Every time when you wash your hands, how do you turn off your pipes? Do you use your clean hands to turn off the pipes? Our tip today is focused on ensuring that you're not reintroducing germs on your hands after you wash them. So how do you do this? Before washing your hands, please make sure that you have easy access to a piece of paper towel. So you're going to tear it and put it to the side of the sink every single time you go to wash your hands. Turn on your tap, soap and wash, and then you do not touch the pipe. Do not turn off the pipe. Because remember, you turned it on with your dirty hands, right? Reach over, dry your hands with a paper towel, and then use the paper towel to turn off the pipe. So you're going to wash your hands. Firstly, you're going to get a piece of paper towel, put it, you know, by the sink. Wash your hands, dry your hands with the paper towel, and then use the paper towel to turn off the tap and throw the paper towel away. I know that you'll be concerned about wasting water, and this is why you should get into the habit of having that piece of paper towel available to dry your hands right away and to save on the water. It's very important not to retouch the pipe that you touched in the beginning with your dirty hands. So we have to be especially vigilant at this time, and I hope that we are able to increase your awareness and empower each and every one of you to stay safe and healthy. May God continue to bless each and every one of us. God bless you all.
Thank you, Dr. Lindsay. Thank you for the very helpful tips and the announcements. Let us pay attention to these announcements and also to the tip. Thank you so much. At this time, I'm going to invite our Dr. Beverly Brown to come and to pray the blessing on the offering and the tithes that will be given. And remember the medium in which you can get the offering to the treasurer. It's also posted online. So remind yourself and be involved. Keep giving to the Lord. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Dr. Brown, please pray the prayer.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you get a chance, brethren, just read Malachi 3. From about verse 8 to verse 10. And I'll just read verse 8 and verse 10. Will a man rob God? Yea, ye have robbed me. But he say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in thine house. And prove me now, wherewith say the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and will pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Father God, I give you glory, give you praise. We worship you for another beautiful day. Lord Jesus, this is also a blessing, Lord God. Just waking up this morning in our right minds, oh God, be able to smell, oh God, the fresh air, be able to breathe it in, Lord Jesus, and to see the beautiful sunshine. Thank you for the blessing, Lord, which you have promised to us. Father, this time we present the tithes and the offering of your people. Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord God, for a special anointing, special blessing upon it, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for provision for all, oh God, who have given and those who have not yet given. Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord God, you'll continue to provide, Lord, those who are out of jobs. God, provide jobs for them. Make a way for them, Lord God. And in making a way for them, oh God, teach us, oh Father, to give back, Lord Jesus, according to your word. because your words do not lie. Lord God, you promised that, Lord God, our storehouses will not be empty, Lord Jesus. So we pray, Lord God, for a special blessing upon the offering of your people. We give you glory, Lord, and we give you praise. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So thankful for this morning. Thank God that we are able to connect with each other another time. Not just another time, but a brand new day. Thank God. Thank God for today. Thank God for allowing us to see the day and to come together to fellowship and to worship. And I do pray that your hearts will be blessed or continue to be blessed as we go throughout the service. God is a good God to us. At this time, I'm going to invite our sister Lisa Armstrong to come with her special selection. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. Bless the Lord. We thank God this morning for the privilege of coming together like this again. And we just hope and trust that everyone will be blessed at the end of this day. 'Twas a life filled with aimless desperation, without hope, walked the shell of a man. Then a hand with the nail print reached downward. Just one touch, then a new life begun. And the old rugged cross made the difference. In a life bound for heartache and defeat, I will praise him forever and ever. For the cross made the difference for me. Barren walls echoed harshness with much anger. Little feet ran in terror to hide. Now those walls ring with love, warmth, and laughter. Since the giver of life moved inside, I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. There's a room filled with sad, ashen faces. Without hope, death has wrapped them in gloom. But at the sight of a saint, there's rejoicing. For life can't be sealed in a tomb. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the old rugged cross. It makes a difference in our lives. We just worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And one day we are going to exchange this old rugged cross for a crown. Hallelujah. Just let us remain true and faithful to the Lord. Hallelujah. It's an exciting life to live with him. Let's continue with him. And we haven't seen anything yet. When he shall come to take us home, oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Keep focusing on the old rugged cross and cherish the old rugged cross throughout our lives. Praise God. At this time, it is with great pleasure that I call on our pastor, Pastor Newton, to come and take over the rest of the service. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Evangelist Badawe. Good morning, everyone, brothers and sisters, well-wishers, friends. It's good to be in the house of the Lord another time. I trust that everything is well with everyone. We have just celebrated independence, and we have eaten a lot yesterday. And so to shake off some of what we have eaten and to focus. So I'm thankful to God that he has allowed us to be in his house. I want to give us a little extra today. Today is Lord's Supper Day, first Sunday in July. So I just think that I should give us a little extra for the holiday. So I'm going to ask that you relax. In the meantime, you could turn your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 24, and I will be doing the message from that chapter today, St. Luke 24. So at this time, just relax for a moment, and something special is coming your way.
Darkness will fall, the tears will come, for all of these things come to everyone. But in God's word, it promised to us, if you sow in tears, you'll leave. In joy. Tears are for cleansing stress and relief. They are created by God just to give us relief. And they're not in vain, for soon will come peace if you sow. When tears you'll be in joy. So don't be afraid to cry, for he sees your tears and he hears your prayer. past, and your day is coming, the tears may flow, but don't you let go, for if you sow in tears, you'll be
to, and some may be hearing it for the first time. Some might even forget that voice. That's our own Dr. America Newville singing for us. If you sow in tears, you will reap in joy. That is so true. That is so profound. So let's turn to our scripture. As I said, it's from St. Luke chapter 24. And I'll be reading from verse number 13. St. Luke 24, reading from verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs, 3 score furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these, that ye are one with another, as ye walk and as sat? The one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? They said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deeds and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and all rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they had found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. May God bless his words for our hearts today. This is a passage that Luke wrote shortly after Jesus was crucified and was resurrected. I want to talk to us today about the heart. The heart. And many of you might be saying, what does he know to talk about the heart? Not very much. But the subject that I want to bring to us today is the burning heart. The burning heart, and the text verse is verse number 32 of the passage that I read first. And it says, for emphasis, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? I want us to think on this verse, my beloved brothers and sisters, my friend. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the way? As I said, there are so many things that we have heard about the heart, so many things that some things that we may have experienced. And the heart is said to be the center or the source of our emotion. The center or the source of our emotion. That means anything that happened to us, we react according to how it is felt in the heart. So we think of, for example, heartburn. Heartburn is a burning sensation beneath the breastbone, resulting from a static reflux of the stomach acid. And so when we have heartburn, we know that we have a problem and we seek remedy. Some of us may take Alka-Seltzer. Some of us may take MAM, which is milk of magnesia. Some of us may take Tums or Andrew's liver salt or Prilosec. As a youth growing up, I grew with my mother and my grandmother. And for every ailment that you might experience, they have some form of bush that you can boil and drink, and that would cure your ailment. But one thing that they never boil a bush for is the heartburn. So whenever you were experiencing heartburn, the remedy would be some ashes. The ash from the fire pulled that bird, and they would take that little on their finger and swallow that, and that would be the remedy for heartburn. But when we think of the burning heart, it's different from experiencing heartburn. The only cure that is for heartburn, burning heart, is to be in the center of God's will and what God expects of us. So we see, as I said, there are many things also written in the scriptures about the heart, about the heart. In Proverbs 21, verse 4, it says, "An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." That's Proverbs 21, verse 4. Jeremiah the prophet said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And the response is, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. Ezekiel said, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Ezekiel 36, 26. The writer of Hebrews said, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Hebrews 10, 22. The Apostle James said, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded." James 4 and verse 8. And one of the phrases, one that we quote and we say, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Psalm 51 and verse 10. These are some of the mentions about the heart in the Bible. And we talk in our conversations sometimes that our heart has been heavy, sad, broken, and so many, many more. But what are the reasons for that? And there are a number of reasons. Sometimes it's because of our disappointment in our relationship. Sometimes the story that you hear that people go through and say, "Well, my heart is broken," and all of those things. But my focus today will be on, as I said, the burning heart. A burning heart, as I said, is different from a heartburn. And I said, the scripture for consideration is St. Luke 24 and verse 32. "And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Let's reflect a moment on what these two people said. We are not told the reason why they were leaving Jerusalem and headed for Emmaus. We are not sure whether they are from that area or what is the cause. But I want to feel that they had come to Jerusalem to celebrate to celebrate that their deliverer has come. The Messiah, the one that they were looking forward to, has come. And more importantly, their king has come to set up his kingdom so that they'll be free from the Roman rule. And so I think they came with glad expectation to see and to participate in this celebration. But to their sad end is that not long after, Jesus was dead. He was crucified. So their hopes were gone based on the conversation that they had as they traveled. Let's look again at what they said. In verse number 14, and they thought of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were open. That means they were blind to what was not physically blind, but spiritually, not discerning that the Messiah, the one that they were talking about, the one that they were so disappointed, their hearts were broken, that he came and went earlier than they had expected. So he said to them, what manner of communications are these that he had one with another as he walked and as sad? So their hearts were sad. They were disappointed. Their hearts were broken. Things happened that they were not expecting. And when Jesus asked the question, the response that he gave, that he got, one of them, verse 18, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, maybe even in an angry manner, a surprised manner, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass here in these days? In other words, Cleopas said to Jesus, wherefore you are this time? How is it that you don't know what has taken place in Jerusalem over these days? I'm sure that right now in our own situation, if we should find ourselves talking about the COVID-19 or the death of George Floyd, and somebody said to us, what happened? When did that happen? How our response would be? The same like these two men. Are you a stranger? You don't see, you don't hear all that happened. How people are suffering as a result of this virus. What happened to George Floyd? How he was killed by a police. Where were you that you don't hear and know of these things? And so it is with these, it was with these two men saying to Jesus, man, you must be a stranger. Where are you from? You must be from some dark place that you didn't hear that Jesus was crucified. Our rulers, our leaders crucified Jesus. And we are disappointed. Our hearts are broken. Because we thought, hear what they said in verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We trusted that he was the Messiah. He was the King of Kings. For we heard them saying, Hosanna, blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. So we were expecting him to establish his throne. And we are disappointed. For he was King. Our hearts are broken. We are sad. And we didn't want to be Jerusalem. It was too much for us. And not only did they crucify him, but the surprising thing to them was that this is the third day since these things happened. And certain women also of our company made us frightened, astonished, because they went to the sepulchre and when they went, they did not find his body. So sad were these two men, so disappointed, so heartbroken, even while they were in the midst of the Messiah. You know why? They did not recognize him. They did not know that in their midst was the Messiah. They did not know the one they were talking to was their Messiah because their eyes were blinded. Their focus was on the king that would come, set up his throne, and deliver them from the Roman rule. So they were disappointed. They were sad. They were heartbroken. And to compound matters, it says, when they found not his body, they came saying that they have also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. Even when they heard that he was alive, that did not change the disposition of their hearts. They doubted these things. They did not believe. And so it is with the gospel today, when the gospel is being preached, that Jesus came, he died, he was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again, and that life can be had through him. Many are still doubting, how could this happen? How can this be? Just as these two men, they said that certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so, as the woman had said, but him they found not. Where are you looking for Jesus today? It is for us to pause and to think, where is Jesus today? Is he in the grave? Is he somewhere else? As Mary said to when she went to the, sir, if you are born in somewhere, tell me that I may go and take him. Jesus is here right now, right in our midst. As we listen to this word this morning, Jesus is in our midst. And it is for us to take heed to what he is saying to us today. So they did not recognize him. As I said, to make matters worse, they could not believe that there was anyone who was not aware of what was happening. So they left, as it were, Jerusalem, sad and heartbroken. My beloved brothers and sisters, listening to this word today, may we have the desire to commune, to live with Jesus. So they be disappointed, and look what happened next. Verse number 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, that is Jesus speaking unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So right away, Jesus enlightened them as to what took place and what was prophesied that should happen. So hear what it says again. O fools, and slow of heart to believe. May we have a heart today that would readily believe that what was spoken about Jesus did take place, and what Jesus said himself when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So regardless of how heartbroken we are today, or disappointed we are in so many things, broken relationships, broken promises, our hearts are sad. We are mourning because of things that happened. Jesus is here right now. And so he revealed to them that Jesus went through all that because it was so. Verse 27, and he said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Verse 29, what they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. So after Jesus enlightened them, after Jesus revealed that the things that they are discussing and are concerned about are things that should happen, it says that Jesus, beginning at Moses, all that Moses said, all that the prophet said, he expounded to them, he enlightened them as to the things that happened and the reason for which they had happened. So they come to the place where the journey for them was ended, and they constrained Jesus, saying, abide with us. Here is the stranger that they think didn't know what was happening and what has taken place in Jerusalem over the past 3 days. A stranger to them. One that seems to be so ill-informed, not knowing the current thing that was happening. Here they are saying, no, after their eyes were open, after they were enlightened to the scriptures, hear what they said, abide with us. Abide with us. And I pray that today, as we listen to this word, that there are those who would say to Jesus, abide with us. Abide with us. Why? For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. If you invite Jesus in today, if you ask him to abide with you today, if you open up yourself to him today and say, just as these two men, abide with us, he will. He will abide with you. If you want to experience a life that is worth living, then ask Jesus to abide with you. If you ask the risen Lord to abide with you, he surely will. There will be no change of heart unless the risen Lord is abiding in our hearts. Jesus wants to be your friend today. Don't let him be a stranger. There's a song that says, there's a stranger at your door. Let him in. Not only did Jesus expound it to them, not only did the stranger abide with them, but he also dined with them. Jesus wants to dine with us today, likewise. Jesus abode with them, he dined with them, and he gave them sight. Their hearts were enlightened. So, what am I saying today? As I said, the meat of the message that I want to bring to us today is the burning heart. And hear what, again, they say in verse number 32. After their eyes were opened and they knew him, he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? We cannot experience the burning heart and remain the same that we were before. We cannot experience the burning heart and do not respond as these two men responded. First of all, they asked Jesus to abide with them after he enlightened them. He enlightened them, and he abode with them. Not only did that, but he fed them. The scripture says, hear what he says in verse number 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed and prayed and gave to them. What a blessing it was for those two men to participate in that blessing and breaking of bread with Jesus. All about them changed because Jesus enlightened them, because Jesus abode with them, because Jesus dined with them. So it is with us today, my friends, my brothers, my sisters. Things will be different in our lives if we ask Jesus to abide with us, if we dine with Jesus, if our eyes are open. Things are different. Things will be different, just as it was with those two men. So the question among themselves, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? You see, right away, there was a difference in their lives, a new experience. No more sad, no more broken heart, no more disappointed heart, but now a burning heart, a burning desire to be the person that Jesus intended them to be. Though they were disappointed in the Messiah not coming, the king did not come to set up his throne as they were expecting. Yet Jesus condescended to abide with these two men, to dine with them, because Jesus loved them and Jesus wanted to make a difference. Jesus wanted to give them a new heart, as Ezekiel said, a new heart and a new spirit. And that was what they experienced when their eyes were open, when they abide with Jesus, and when they dined with Jesus. Hear what verse 33 says. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. I want us to look again at verse 29, because this shows the difference that it made in their lives when their hearts burned within them. Verse 29, it says, they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. So it was late. That's what they were saying. It's late. We cannot go any further. So stay with us. Stay with us. May we, my brothers and sisters, my friend, be at the place where we realize that we can't even walk without Jesus holding our hand, as the psalm says. May we understand that each step we take, if Jesus is guiding us, we are on the right path. So they said, we can't go any further. It is late. All the urgency of what took place in their lives. For when they experienced the burning heart, it was no longer too late. Hear what the verse said. Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. It was not too late now, because Jesus has enlightened them. Jesus has opened their eyes. Jesus abode with them. Jesus died with them. And at the time when they think that it was late, they can't go any further. The very same hour becomes light to them, because they said it rose up the same hour. The same hour. And they return to Jerusalem. My brothers, my sisters, my friends, when you have experienced the burning heart, when you have experienced what it is to be in the midst of the risen Lord, the great Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, when we have experienced not heartburn, but the burning heart, things are going to be different, just as it were with these two men. What was the difference? The very same hour when the journey should end, because it was late, they went back to Jerusalem. My brothers, my sisters, my friends, when we experience the burning heart, we will have a message. We will have a mission. The mission is that they went back to Jerusalem. The message was that the Lord is risen indeed. The Lord is risen indeed. It's not too late to go back to Jerusalem. Our mission is to go back to Jerusalem and to let others know that what the ladies have said, what the women have said, is fact. It is true. The Lord is risen. We have seen him. He abode with us. He enlightened our eyes. He fed us. We noticed the way how he acted when he took the bread, when he gave thanks, and we ate. It was different from it used to be. Yet, when they experienced the burning heart, they had a mission and they had a message. May we experience that burning heart today. And when we have experienced that, we know that it is time to let others know that Jesus cares. Jesus wants to change the lives. Without the burning heart, we don't have a message. Without experiencing what the risen Lord has done and can do, our mission is failure. But when we submit, when we ask him to abide with us, when we dine with him, when our eyes are open, when we are enlightened to the things that God has declared in Jesus Christ, then we will experience that burning heart. And that burning heart will allow us to realize the urgency of the time in which we are living. That day, God abode with them. God dined with them. God enlightened them. Oh, that today God would abide with us, that God would dine with us, that God would enlighten us and set to our hearts and fire. I remember hearing a quote one time from John Wesley, and he was asked, what made so many people attend his crusade? His response was, I set myself on fire. And they come to see me burn. I set myself on fire, and they come to see me burn. It's not literal fire. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost, the fire of the risen Lord, the burning heart that he had because of his experience. And so he realized the urgency of the time, and right during his crusade, many, many were saved. Many turned to the Lord. We have a mission. We have a message. We must understand that also the time is urgent. Can God depend on us today? We don't need heartburn. We need burning hearts. Hearts that are burned with the fire, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is depending on us today, but we won't be able to accomplish anything until our hearts are burned with the fire of the Holy Ghost until we experience the burning heart as these two men experienced. Note that before that, they were going from Jerusalem. But when Jesus enlightened them, when they invited him to abide with them, when he dined with them, that changed everything. They have a different outlook on life. They said within themselves, we can't keep it. We must go back to Jerusalem and let the message know that he is risen indeed. Have you experienced the burning heart? If not, today is the day when you can experience that burning heart. Then you will have a message. You will have a mission. We all will have a mission. May God help us today. May God speak to us today. I hope that I've made it clear what the purpose of this message is. May we say to the Lord, give me a heart like thine, a burning heart, one that will care for those that are dying without hope. Hearts are broken. Hearts are broken. We don't need for a surgeon to give us a heart transplant. We need for Jesus, his Holy Spirit, to set us on fire, burn out everything, so that we'll be able to carry out the message that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Our Holy Spirit, Lord alone, can turn our hearts from sin. His power alone can sanctify and keep us pure living. That's what we'll experience with the burning heart. The Holy Spirit alone can deeper love inspire. His power alone within our souls can light that sacred fire. That's what the two men on the road to Emmaus experienced. The Holy Spirit, Lord, can bring the gifts we seek in prayer. His voice can words of comfort speak and still each wave of care. Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, can give the grace we need this hour. And while we wait, O Spirit, come in sanctifying power. O Spirit of love, descend. Come in our midst, we pray, and life a rushing, mighty wind sweep over our souls today. As we prepare to close this part of our service and enter into Holy Communion, I would like us to think on the things which we have heard. Is your heart experiencing heartburn, or is your heart experiencing burning with the fire of the Holy Spirit? If that's your experience, it means that you have a mission, it means you have a message. If you have not been experiencing that fire, it means that you stand in need of that sanctifying, burning fire. So Mary says, oh, Spirit of faith and love, come in our midst today. Come in our midst today and purify each waiting heart. Baptize us. Baptize me with power today. I need that burning heart. I've been disappointed. I've been heartbroken. But now, Lord, set my soul on fire. Set my heart on fire so that others will come to see me. As you bow, if you have not accepted the Lord, this might sound strange to you, but you can, by the help of God, surrender, submit, commit yourself to Him, and you will experience just as what these two men experienced. Oh, Spirit of faith and love, come in our midst, we pray, and purify each waiting heart. Baptize us with hope today. I want to pray with us before we observe the Lord's Supper. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity of sharing your words. Lord, we are glad for the example in your words for these two men who, Lord, before they encountered your enlightening spirit, their hearts were saddened. Their hearts were broken. They were disappointed because their expectation, as it were, was lost. But having encountered you, having their hearts, having their spirits, their mind enlightened, having you abiding with them and dining with them, changes their perspective and life. I pray to the Lord that those that are listening, Lord, and have not fully experience the burning heart, what it is for their hearts to be burned with the fire of God, would experience such a burning today. And that, Lord, we realize that we have a mission and a message to give to the world. For those who have not yet surrendered to you, Lord, we know that you can change their lives. And so we pray today for a change of life. And a change of life that will bring a burning heart. We wait on you, Lord. We know that you are able to do exceeding abundant above that which we are able to ask or to think. So we are waiting on you, Lord, and we expect that you will do what you promised to do. Hear us now, Father, as we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, I know you were surprised when our Dr. Newbill spoke. So I'm going to give you another surprise. I'm going to ask somebody else now to lead us in this part of the service as we prepare to partake of the body of Jesus Christ, his body and his blood. Prepare our hearts.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Newton. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, reading first at number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took his cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever eateth this bread and whosoever drinketh of the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat the fat bread and drink of that cup. For he that drinketh and eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Amen. Praise God. I just want to just briefly encourage you. The scripture here speaks about in as often as you do it. And as this COVID-19 has taught us, that many of the things that we did in church, many of the things that we're used to doing in church, we've had to do ourselves. Nevertheless, I want us to not lose sight of the significance of what you are doing, partaking of the Lord's Supper. It is still to be feared. And fear here doesn't mean being afraid of, but reverence to Almighty God, recognizing that the Word of God says you should not eat or drink of it unworthily. This is not a condemnation, but this is an affirmation of God's perfect plan and will. God is a God of order. He does not change regardless of who we are. God still expects the same standards. So if just as you would do if you were in the church building, it's the same thing you're doing at home. But he also says as often as you do this, you do so forth. So you don't have to do first Sundays only. But as often as you meet together and pray, you can partake of the Lord's Supper. I pray that this will encourage your hearts to be steadfast in that which God has given unto us. And so, as the scripture says, this bread represents my body that was broken just for you. And as often as you do this, you do show forth my death, burial, and resurrection. Eat ye all of it. And in like manner also he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he said, this represents my blood which is shed for you, and as often as you drink it, you do show forth my death, burial, and resurrection. Drink ye all of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you.
Well, thank you very much. Again, this is a voice that you have heard before. The person of Dr. Dwayne Newton. So I want to thank Dr. Newville for participating in the service today, and for those others who have participated. May God bless you. Thank you for sharing with us. May we experience that burning heart so that we will go with the message of salvation. Father, thank you that you have allowed us to be in your presence today, to participate in this wonderful service, this memorial, this thanksgiving, in partaking of your body and your blood. May we be inspired, Lord, to go forth and to tell of your wonderful work, just as how these two men, after their experience, your enlightening power, your abiding presence, and your dining with them. After their hearts have been burned, after they experienced the burning heart, they were willing, not looking at the time, once it was late for them to go any further. But once their hearts have been burned, have been enlightened, and you have dined with them, they said, it's time for us to go back to Jerusalem with the message. May we, Lord, today go with the same zeal to others who are still in sin. This we ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you. God go with you. God be with you. Enjoy the rest of this day with a burning heart. God bless you.